Hello, my name's Roger Watson, and welcome to the Jan Podcast. These occasional podcasts will be a miscellany of my reflections on working as an editor-in-chief, some hot topics in academic publishing, and occasional contributions from guest editors. This is the Jan Podcast of
28th of May 2017. A heads up on headings and subheadings. This is Roger Watson, the editor-in-chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing, and this is my entry to Nurse, Author and Editor in 2017, volume 27, number 1, and it's entry 4 in that issue. A potential author for Journal of Advanced Nursing once complained to me about our insistence on the particular structures, headings and subheadings, for specific types of articles on which we insist. His point was that this was very constraining for authors. I agreed and told him that this was entirely the point, constraint. I strongly encourage the use of headings and subheadings by any students whose writing I am supervising, despite the views of some UK nursing colleagues regarding the use of headings and subheadings in academic writing, which I've previously covered in my blog. I believe that the correct use of headings and subheadings is an academic skill that students should acquire early. This article addresses the use of headings and subheadings in manuscripts for submission to academic journals. Purpose of headings. So which headings and subheadings should be used? How do they get there and what purpose do they serve? The purpose of headings and subheadings can be examined in at least three ways: aesthetics, signposting, and positioning and retrieval of information. First of all, aesthetics. This means simply that headings and subheadings make your writing and your published article look better, even if only superficially. It should be said that scientific writing is not always the most page-turning writing to read. A scientific report in the form of a published article is not a novel, and successive pages of text without a break can be intimidating to look at and tedious to read. Headings and subheadings provide some relief from an endless flow of words. Then signposting. Headings and subheadings help to guide the reader through the article logically. When one section has been read, then the reader has the information necessary for reading and understanding the subsequent section. A reader can also refer to previous sections for clarification. And then positioning and retrieval of information. In scientific articles, the use of headings and subheadings serves an obvious purpose: where to put specific types of information in a manuscript. In most cases, headings are self-explanatory, and they are specified by the journal to which an author is submitting. Following the title of the manuscript, which is neither a heading nor a subheading, typical examples of headings are introduction, methods, results, and discussion. While the respective material which should be placed under these headings should be obvious, some less experienced authors do make mistakes. One of the most common is to preempt subsequent material, for example, starting to discuss the design of the study in the introduction, mentioning results under methods, and most commonly starting to discuss the results in the results section rather than simply stating the findings. Each of the sections of the manuscript, as labelled by its heading, should be highly specific. This helps readers to locate the information they need and leads to a more parsimonious and less repetitive style of writing. Subheadings. Subheadings are less obvious than headings in terms of their positioning, purpose, and number of levels to be used. Journals do not always provide guidance in subheadings. However, the 6th edition of the Publication Manual of the American Psychological Association, used as a reference point by many journals and authors, provides for 5 levels of heading, i.e. 1 level of heading and 4 levels of subheading, and prescribes precisely how these should be denoted. Table 3.1 in the APA manual, on page 62, shows how explicitly they describe the styling for headings. Even with this guidance, in my experience and that of editorial colleagues, authors very rarely have headings used and styled correctly. Don't be that person. Some journals specify a whole number for the headings, for example, 1, introduction, and then a system of numbering which uses periods and numbers to denote subsequent levels such as 1.1, 1.2, 1.21, etc. Usually it is unnecessary to use more than 3 levels of heading, i.e. a heading and 2 subheadings, and for most purposes 2 levels are sufficient. How to use subheadings? The judicious use of subheadings is harder than the use of headings, as it is not always obvious what material should be contained under them, and labels are not usually specified by journals. Generally, the author can decide how best to use them. However, the principles remain the same as for headings. Subheadings should be ordered logically within the major sections of a manuscript and should be discreet with specific information under each one. I can only exemplify here, but for example, an introduction could contain three subsections headed by subheadings such as background, literature review, and the present study. The background explains why the study is being conducted and what the issues or the problem is that is worthy of study. The literature review provides the most relevant articles that support the study, and the present study outlines what will be addressed and can contain the research question. Under the methods section, subsections could be design and analysis. If both qualitative and quantitative methods are being used, then these could be described separately using a second level of subheading under the subheading analysis. The results do not usually require subheadings, although in mixed method studies the quantitative and qualitative results could be presented under separate subheadings. Finally, subheadings may be used to present and discuss different aspects of the results, or these may be presented as an integrated block of text. However, useful subheadings within the discussion could be limitations, implications, future assert, and if not specified as a separate heading, conclusions. Journal style. Well, some journals use specific headings across all articles. Typically, this is the case in journals that primarily report research. If the journal uses specific headings, this will be stated in the information for authors. You should also look at several articles in the journal to make sure you understand what content belongs in each section and that headings are consistent. Other journals, particularly those that are more clinically focused, may allow you, the author, to create your own headings to be reflective of the content. In this case, it's particularly important that you use headings that will be meaningful to the reader. You also want to be careful that you properly identify in your own mind and in your manuscript which are the main headings and which are the subheadings. Formatting. While the table referenced earlier provides guidance on the formatting of headings, it's surprising and somewhat dismaying how many authors don't do this correctly. Remember that headings help to organise the text. They can also help you to organise your thinking. Correct formatting so that your eye is drawn to the headings and knows immediately if it is a level 1, 2 or 3 heading from the style helps you to make sure your paper is properly presented. Remember that the title of the manuscript is just that, the title. It's not a heading or a subheading. Similarly, in a classic 5 or 6 chapter dissertation, many authors are tripped up by the chapter designation at the top of the page. For this, I suggest that students use Chapter 1 as the title. The first level head would then be Introduction, which should be centred and boldface. If using APA style, other level 1 or main headings typically found in the first chapter of a dissertation are purpose, significance, study aims and research questions, and if requested by the dissertation committee, chapter summary. Resist the urge to use features of your word processor to format your headings. In my experience, they tend to focus more on making a manuscript look fancy or pretty and are not going to be styled according to APA or journal guidelines. You're best to make an outline of the headings, identify each one according to its proper level, and then format it accordingly using bold, italic, the key tab to indent, and alignment to centre text. So in conclusion, headings and subheadings are one of those nitty-gritty features that permeate scholarly writing. Learn how to style them correctly and present your manuscript professionally. I can assure you that the editor will notice. And I referred already to the American Psychological Association publication manual that was published in 2010. Currently there is a 6th edition and it's published in Washington by the American Psychological Association. Thank you very much for listening.
This podcast was produced in association with youpublicationslimited.com.
Between pages, memories pressed.